it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Missed it last week. Yes, thank you, Richard. Thank you to everybody who stepped up, my three men in the family who stepped up and helped with worship, and all the people that helped extra last week. I really, really appreciate you very much. We're going to be starting a new series today for our tithes and offering. It's called Journey with Jesus, Learning from the Master About Finances. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the scriptures where Jesus is talking about money or finances. Because how many people know when Jesus says something, we probably should pay attention, right? Amen? So let's start in Matthew 6 in verse 24. And this is part of a continuation of when Jesus is on the mountainside after he's done the Beatitudes and he's just continuing on teaching the people. And he says this: "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In some of your translations, it'll have a capital M and say money. And the reason I found out that it says a capital is because mammon is a personification of a god. So that's why the M is capitalized, because it's personifying money as a person. Mammon means riches, treasures, so you are serving one of two things. But it's important to notice the scripture in context. Do you know that? Some of your Bibles will show this verse all by itself. You know how it splits everything up, which is great when you're trying to find something because there's all these titles and you can quickly go there. But sometimes we miss out on the whole picture. So you have verse 24 and it says again, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money or treasures or riches." Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, right? "Therefore, I say to you," in verse 25, "do not worry about your life." I find it interesting that right after he says you can't serve two gods, he says you do not worry about your life. Let me ask you something. Which one of the gods in this verse, God or money, is going to cause you to worry? Which one's going to cause you to worry? Money, right? And what does it say after that? "Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life." Jesus is saying, listen up, you can't serve both. You can't serve God and money. And a lot of times this verse has been totally taken out of context and said, that's why we're supposed to be poor. But then you're still serving money if you're poor. You realize that, right? You're still serving money because you don't ever have enough, so your focus is always on what? Money. So it's a heart issue here that he's dealing with. In verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air." So Jesus is giving us an example now, not of money. He's giving us an example now of what God does. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Let me ask you this today. Do you feel like your life is more valuable than a bird's? Yes or no? So if you say yes, then you have to understand, if you need food, he's going to provide, because you are of more value to him than the birds, and yet he feeds the birds. Every day they're fed. By who? By him. By the system that he set into place, right? So when you serve mammon or riches or treasure or money, you are going to be causing yourself to worry. Anytime you start to feel worry come on you, you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Okay, Lord, I've shifted over to money. I don't want money to be my God. You are my God. I'm going to stand over on this side and I'm going to remind myself that if you feed the birds, you're going to feed me. You're going to provide for me on a daily basis. And then it says, the next verse, verse 27, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Probably you're going to lose some cubits to your stature is what I'm thinking worry's going to do, because worry weighs you down. You ever seen somebody and you know instantly that they're worried about something? How do you know? There's just a heaviness on them. They're drooped. People that aren't worried, they stand up straight, stand up tall, they're happy, they're smiling, they're not worried about something. Amen? So you're not going to add a cubit, you're going to reduce some. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Let me say that again. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown to the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What's all these things? Clothing and food, right? All these things, all of these will be added unto you. And it all comes back to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. Your trust has to go one place. Otherwise, you're divided, and you're not really going to be serving either one. So what does this look like in our lives? Looks like this. You sit down, and you got your check, and got your income, and you sit down, and you pause. Oh, man, Lord. This month's looking a little short. So I may just hold off on that tithe. You have instantly made mammon your God. You are depending on 10% to take care of you. Can I tell you something? 10% is not going to take care of you. It's not going to take care of you. Let me say it again. It's not going to take care of you. That 10%, when given, will open the doors of heaven to pour out a blessing you can't contain. You can't not give your 10%. Here's another thing. You look at your kids, like I've been looking at mine lately, some of my boys, and you're like, oh, wow, we just bought those jeans, like a month and a half ago? And Luke and Luke has literally grown, I think, was it 3 or 4 inches? He was like 5'4" summer, and they measured him, he's 5'7" now. They just keep growing, and I'm watching it. So do I worry? Do I get concerned? No. I go to my dad, and I say, Heavenly Father, not my earthly one, although he would help out if I asked, but I go to my heavenly dad, and I say, Dad, you know your kids you gave me, they're growing. And so I thank you in advance for the money to buy those jeans. And you praise him for it. You see what I've done? I've gone from worrying about how am I going to make this happen to I praise you, Lord, that you're going to make this happen. He's your dad. He says what? I will give you this day your daily bread. He will provide for your daily needs. He says he will give you more than enough so that you can give to every good work. So we need to stop worrying. Can you say amen? Stop worrying. That's what Jesus' whole theme right here is. He's not up there beating us with a rod saying, you cannot serve two gods, God or money. He's up there going, man, people, don't get caught up in this world system. I don't want to see you worrying. I don't want to see you groveling, toiling and spinning just to make ends meet. That's not the plan my Father has for you. That's his heart today. His heart isn't to beat you of choose who you're going to serve. No, his heart up there is saying, no, therefore, don't worry. You know, it says you have to choose between life or death. And he answers the question, choose life. Well, today he's telling you the answer. You can't serve God and money. But can I tell you something? Don't serve money. It's a terrible master. It doesn't care about you. It wants to ruin you. It wants to keep you back and bound. His heart today is to set you free. His heart today is to remind you, you don't have to worry about anything, children. You're his kids, and he will provide for all your needs. So when something pops up or arises, we've kind of changed our thinking, at least for me, doing the finances. I used to panic. I used to let money rule me. everything I'd be thinking about, had, okay, if I would spend hours writing it all out. And it's good to have a plan. I'm not saying we don't have a plan. But when it becomes your obsession, then it's a problem, okay? So now when something arises, I've got my budget. I've prayed it over with the Lord. And it's so awesome because it used to be all going out to pay bills. And now I call it the giving. And now I have in my budget giving, not just tithes and offerings and missions, but I have other giving. And it's on there, and I check it off when I give it, just like I'd pay a bill. But there's been something that's happened in our lives, gone from just barely making it by to having more than enough to give to every good work. You see what's happened? I stopped focusing on money and started focusing on my Father, who promises to provide for me. So when something comes up in your life and you're like, don't. Just tell yourself, like Steve was saying, say it out loud. No, no, I'm not doing that. Thank you, Everly. I'm not doing that. I am choosing to believe my Father is going to provide for me. Amen? And you're going to see something happen. Can I tell you? I don't stress anymore. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And you know what's even more wonderful? When you can conquer the money stress thing, then everything else falls in line. Something comes up with your kids or your family or your job or your car. I don't stress anymore. I go, hey, Dad, we got to talk. There's some stuff going on. I'm not exactly sure how to do this. I thank you for the wisdom to know how to do it. And you know what happens? I get wisdom. I get wisdom because I have learned I go to Him, not to money. Amen? All right, grab your tithes and offerings. Oh, Jesus, I am so excited about this journey we're going to go on, looking through Scripture, your words about what you had to say. And I pray, Father, that I would see your heart, truly see your heart in these verses, and that we would stop seeing you through the eyes of tradition and what men have told us of how you spoke things. But Father, I thank you that you were gentle of heart. You were meek, gentleness under control. So you weren't out there shouting and making people feel bad. Father, when you were speaking to the multitudes, it was always with compassion. It was always with a heart of compassion, wanting to see them set free. And the weight of money can be so cruel, Father. It can push us down so far. And Lord, your heart is for us to be set free. So every time we see a bird or a beautiful flower, remind us, Lord, that you feed them and you clothe them, and how much more you love us. You will provide for our needs as we seek you first, and help us to do just that. Before we sit down to do our finances, before we sit down to figure something out, before we sit down to try to reason with our kids or with our coworkers, Father, help us to seek you first. And then all these things will be added unto us. And we praise you and we thank you that it starts with our money. Father, we will be faithful to give you our tithes and our offerings. We'll be faithful to give when you tell us to give. Not because you want to get something from us, you want to get something to us. And we praise you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's pray over this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words to us today, God, that are yes and amen. Every promise of God is yes and amen to His church. And we just agree, Lord, that we are giving, have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, turn in to Matthew 24, and you can just kind of hold your place there. I saw this whiteboard today, and I was like, you know, it's football season and all that. And I just want to be like a coach this morning a little bit. So I don't know how exactly this is going to turn out. But I want to talk to you today. Kind of a subtitle to this, these 2 weeks of teachings would be this. How many? How many class? two great reminders. I'm saying it because you may not be able to read my writing. Two great reminders, okay? And the Bible talks about them, but I'm going to put a little dividing line right here. Two great reminders. And how many know tonight at sundown is a significant Jewish holiday called Rosh Hashanah begins. So everybody say Rosh Hashanah. I'll just put H there. I won't try to spell that. Or that also equals what we call the Feast of Trumpets. Everybody say Feast of Trumpets. All right, so let me just give you a little, we talked about this last week. It's, if you missed last week, it's actually posted online. You can hear the message. But this equates to rapture. Somebody say rapture.
Rapture.
Rapture of the church. When the trumpet blows, here's you, right? Here's you. When the trumpet blows, here comes Jesus, right? JC comes in the heavens in the east. When the trumpet this represents everybody who's born again. Somebody say, that's me. And then let's make the folks who are not born again, let's make them the ladies. No, just kidding. Just joking. So those who are born again, when that trumpet sounds, they go up. Everybody say, going up. These folks, they're hanging around. They're staying here on the planet. They're going to be like, what? Maybe it was true, some of them will realize, right? Okay, so that's Feast of Trumpets. That starts tonight at sundown, okay? Well, today we're going to talk about the Day of Atonement, which is called Yom Kippur. Kippur, say Yom Kippur. Which is the Day of Atonement, okay? And this equals this, what we call the second coming. Somebody say second coming of Jesus. When the new advent begins, okay? So here we go. Now on the planet, all of us have been in heaven. Between here, we have a 7-year period, okay? Somebody say 7 years. Now you read the book of Revelation, and this line right here between these events, that's what the book of Revelation is all about. So don't ever tell yourself, I don't understand the book of Revelation. It's full of symbolism and these kind of things. But go in there with the attitude of, this is written for me. I can understand this. I'm reading it, and you'll get pieces of it, and the Holy Ghost will show you. There's great ministries that excel at teaching the end times and that kind of stuff. But these are the basics, okay? Now, here what this represents is, at the end of this 7-year period, there's going to be some very naughty nations that come with guns to try to wipe Israel off the map, okay? That look like a gun? And they're coming to wipe Israel off the map. And all of these people had chosen to follow the Antichrist and all that, taking the mark of the beast and all this. This is not foreign doctrine, okay? And there's still going to be people on this planet, guess what, that get saved when they realize, I missed it. They'll be like, oh no, Grandpa was right. Right? Amen. And so all these folks are going to be hiding for their lives, literally. I mean, you won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell. You think it's hard now on planet Earth. Oh my. You think it's hard to serve God now, which it isn't really in the USA. We're still blessed, right? But if you think it's hard now, you don't want to be around for this, okay? Because there will be people that are martyred during this time. It's going to be terrible, awful stuff, serious stuff. But on that day, somebody say the day.
The day,
the day that all of these nations come against Israel, guess who's coming back? JC is coming back with us. Here's us up here in the clouds, right? Does that look like us? But this time, we're coming down. Somebody say, coming down to the ground. And he's coming to set up shop, and all these guys are going to be wiped out. Well, that's not really a very good wipeout, but it's bloody. You can see how bloody it is, right? To save Israel. How many of you know it's not a good idea for nations to mess with Israel? To this day. That's why it's important to vote for people who support Israel, not anti-Semitic people that want to give arms to people that want to wipe off Israel off the map, okay? That's just common sense stuff. But anyway, that's what differentiates these two events. That's what shows you, because see, a lot of Christians believe that they're the same event. But in Matthew 24, Jesus goes over it and he talks about two separate events, distinctly separate events. The rapture talks about you and me gone. The second coming talks about eagles gathering to eat the flesh, right? And we're coming back with him, amen? So I just saw that whiteboard and I was like, I got to do a little demonstration on there. So you can take pictures of, no, just kidding. It probably won't make any sense. But praise God. But today we're going to talk about Happy Day of Atonement, which doesn't happen until October 9th. But I wanted to get a couple messages in and have it out there for us to, because it's important that we understand and know these things, right? These are two great reminders. What are they reminding us of? Somebody say, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. This is glorious news. And Miss Dawn actually brought in some apples and honey because one of the Jewish traditions is that on the Rosh Hashanah, which at sundown that begins, they'll take apples and dip them in honey as a symbol that this is the beginning of a sweet new year. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How many know when we get to heaven, there's going to be a party? A party. Nobody's going to be crying and weeping and moaning and wailing or going to ER, right? Getting calls from the debtors. No, we're home. Amen? Isn't that glorious? Praise God. Well, Leviticus 23, 26 through 28 says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also the 10th day of the seventh month shall be the day of atonement. So this is nothing new, okay? It shall be a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no customary work, no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement. Somebody say, day of atonement. To make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now, Jesus finished the work of atonement. Atoning your sins. Atone means to cover. Jesus actually washed away the sin. Amen? So, religion still today, whatever religion it is, folks are trying to earn their own redemption. How many know I couldn't do enough good works to earn heaven? I couldn't do enough good deeds. I couldn't live clean enough to be as clean as God. That's why this whole thing is symbolic that Jesus came. You know, they would make sacrifices of rams and lambs and all kinds of things. Blood was shed. Did you know Jesus' blood was shed? Somebody say once and for all. Once and for all. So these holidays remind us that the work is finished. Somebody say finished. Jesus finished the work on your behalf, not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile, for the world. Amen? So this is good news. If you're born again, this is good news. If you're not born again, it's a wake-up call. And even the church needs a wake-up call now and then. Amen? This is reason for you to share your faith with your friends and family and be praying and interceding for people because this is real. And it could be closer than we know. I remember when I was a kid, it was, you know, the whole Left Behind movie was out, and it seemed so sci-fi. How many know nowadays, it doesn't take too much thought to know they could put a little microchip under your skin. They do it with pets. They can know where, you know, where your car is at any time. Your phone can tell people. Now, that's not the mark of the beast. We're not freaking people out. But somebody say the technology is there. And it will all be in the name of your safety. All these people have vanished. We need to make sure we know where you are for your safety. Lies. Lies. You do not want to be around for that time. Amen? Praise God. Amen. So what's the significance of this Day of Atonement? Well, it's Jesus. Somebody say it's Jesus. I mean, yesterday I was wrestling with this. Like, Lord, am I seeing this right? Show me again. I don't want to get up there and preach something out of left field. Show me again. And he just came back to, it's Jesus, Steve. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Right? Well, here we go. I visited a website called Torah Tots that I used to go to for children's ministry and get little bits and pieces. So I got some of this from that, obviously from the Word and so forth, and from the Holy Ghost. It's all the Holy Ghost. Amen? But atonement of sins, that's what it's all about. How many know you don't have to do anything to atone for your sins anymore? You come to Jesus and you receive your forgiveness of your sin and you are free. Somebody say, I'm free. Hallelujah. I mean, the world needs to know this. The church needs to know this. You are free from the curse of sin that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Kill. Sin kills. Amen? That's good news. Praise God. It means it's also to the Jew, to the, you know, the tradition and so forth, it is the holiest and most solemn day of the year. Okay? And when this happens, that is going to be a very solemn day for the world. I mean, the day of the Lord. I mean, it's going to be a very serious confrontation. This is why I love old West movies and, you know, Star Wars. Why? Because it's good versus evil and good prevailing over evil. That's why that's in us to like that. That's not an American thing. That's a Jesus thing. Because good is going to prevail over evil. There is a happy ending for those who love God. There's a happy ending, okay? Right? So it's a solemn day of the year. They talk about afflicting the soul with prayer and fasting. They'll fast. Jews who are practicing Jews will fast for 24 hours. Even the children will fast for 24 hours. But it's all about atoning for your sins. Somebody say, I can't do it. I can't atone for my sins. No matter how many meals I skip, I'm not going to be holy enough. Amen. But the whole thing about afflicting the soul, right? This is going to be a day where evil is afflicted, where affliction itself becomes afflicted, confronted with the ultimate of good. The ultimate of good confronting the ultimate of affliction, the devil, right? Kicking him off the planet, literally, right? Dethroning him. He's already got his notice of eviction. This is where the notice is enforced, right here. And we do it ourselves all the time by binding. And we don't just let the devil come poop in our yard. No. What's God trying to tell me? He's trying to teach me something. The devil's pooping in my... He's trying to teach you to rise up in your faith and take authority over him. And drive him out in the name and by the blood of Jesus, right? Praise God. There's another thing about they wear white, symbolizing purity, that your sins have been made white as snow. Glory to God. Don't you know when you and me come back, it says Jesus with all his glory. It's you. Are coming down, we're going to be in white. We're going to be on white horses. See there, Pastor Steve, it's just the white people that are going. No. But the crazy thing is, there's people that believe that. How stupid. How stupid is that? The devil is darkness, so the devil is black. No. This is stupid. That's dumb. This is God and his family coming back, clothed in white, on white horses, all colors of the rainbow and skin tone. Amen? Coming back to save God's people. Coming back. Here we come. I mean, it's over. Israel knows it's over. They're outnumbered. They're outclassed. They're outweaponed. They've fought it off for thousands of years, and here we come. And I mean, it's amazing. Hollywood couldn't write something to show that in its full effect. And probably it would be taken as racist if we did. Amen. What are you doing hating on those people that want to wipe Israel off the map? Well, we're just being biblical. We're not hating the people. They could still be saved. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then it says, one of the other things about the Day of Atonement is it's your last chance to get right with God. And if you remember last week, one of the things to talk about Rosh Hashanah was it's about the love and mercy of the Lord. All of this stuff is about the love and mercy and patience and kindness of God. He's not mad at the world. This guy right here, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, they realize after this happened, perhaps there's still a chance. If I just don't take that mark and literally hide and run for my life, and they might have to be martyred, some of them. Somebody say there's still another chance. That's why I chose this picture of the goat. There's a story of the scapegoat in the Bible where the priest will take two goats and pray the sin of the land on one and kill it and release the other one as a symbol of being free. And there's Jesus talks about in the word that the angels are going to come and separate the sheep from the goats. Amen? These are the goats, right? And these are the sheep. The angels come and they separate the sheep from the saved from the unsaved. Amen? So it's the cool thing about this time right here after the tribulation is people still have one more chance. They still have a chance to get it right, to get saved. The Holy Ghost will still be on the planet. I used to believe the Holy Ghost leaves the planet after the rapture, and I was corrected. Billy Brim corrected me. She's like, no, he's everywhere. He came here once and he's staying. These people are going to need his help. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And so they'll have one more chance to get right. To the Jew, it means, well, we'll fast and pray and this kind of stuff. And well, I'll have one more chance to fix all of my mistakes from last year. No, that's sounds great. But let's be biblical. Amen. Jesus paid the price of our sins once and for all. You gotta get a drink of water. I got it. Ah, next time I'll get the larger Starbucks. Just sip on it. Just kidding. But this is good news, church. So the day is coming. Somebody say the day is coming. Amen. In Revelation 1:7, and you have your finger in Matthew 24, we're coming to that. It says this, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. See? When the rapture happens, people just vanish, man. They're gone. The second coming, everybody sees him coming. Right? Listen to this. And even they who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. You know what this makes me think of? How many people hate Donald Trump? And they have their reasons, even Christians. Dear God, I mean, the man represents pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-biblical marriage. Good Lord, what do you want in a president? But the world hates him because of his stands of righteousness, because he's wealthy, whatever else they want to say about him, right? Because they hate the church because they signify he's with the church now, and they make stuff up about him. How much more, guys, when Jesus himself shows up? You see, that spirit is still going to be around on the planet. And the world will see him coming. The world, I'm talking about the world now. I'm talking about the goats. I'm not talking about the sheep. I'm talking about the goats who want it their way. They hate God. They hate Israel. They hate righteousness. They hate the church. They'll see Jesus coming and have the gall to try to kill him. I mean, Satan is so stupid. He's so dumb. You know, it began way back when he decided to try to overthrow heaven. What would this place be without me? I'll start my own. And he's been trying to establish that on this planet for millenniums, right? Praise God. So you and me, so the nations, it says right here, are going to mourn when they see him. That differentiates these two events. Amen? Very solemn day, very serious day. serious business. You come against Israel, you're coming against, the Bible says, the apple of God's eye. Wrong move. Just ask Hitler. How did that work? For Hitler, right? Yikes. Not well. Amen. Matthew 24, as we close this morning, says this in verses 27 through 31. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. What are they doing? Dining on flesh. Now see, a lot of folks confuse this with the rapture. Well, no. This tells us how fast this battle is going to be. Now, did you see any lightning yesterday?
My pulsator lost all power.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen this day. Satan is going to lose all power. He's going to be dethroned in his imaginary throne. Right? In the flat, as fast as lightning flashes. That's how quick this battle is going to be. And I'm going to be sitting next to John Wayne. When we come back, I'm at least going to be able to see him, right? Let's go, Jesus Riders! Woo! And we'll have a barbecue afterwards. And you know how Jesus likes his beef, don't you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You'll get that later. Hallelujah. That's right. Immediately after the tribulation, see, he's talking about after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened. See, it's not that the earth is getting warmer. Stuff's happening to the sun, the stars. Amen? Hallelujah. And the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. No! I want my weed! No! I want my gay marriage! No! We hate Israel! No! We want our sin! No! Or how could you say it like a goat? No! Oh, we're having a little too much fun with this. Amen? But you know what? I like being on the winning side. Amen? And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Somebody say, that's us. That's us. We're with him. It's good to be with Jesus now. Don't wait till then. Somebody say, be with him now. Be with him now. And he will send his angels with great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four corners. And what are they doing? They're gathering together all the sheep, separating them from the goats. Hallelujah. Party over, devil. So in closing, church. As we remember these two great reminders. Now, you have to go to pastor school for a lot of years to get this. All right? I've got a lot of experience. Don't try this at home. All right? I would advise you to be on the first plane. to be rapture ready. Don't miss the first plane. Tell somebody, don't miss the first plane out of here. You want to be on the first plane out of here. First, somebody say, first plane. I'm on the first. Now, I know that's deep. I know you got to stretch to get that. But somebody say, I'm going in the rapture. Right? Now, obviously, this plays into when that happens, but you see the signs. You're seeing storms and all the strife and discord and hatred and this, all the junk that's happening in the world. These are signs that God says, look up, your redemption draws near. Your plane's coming. Hallelujah. Isn't that glorious? Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet together and just thank him for his mercy and love. For his mercy and his love. Glory to God. Just make a commitment to him, because maybe somebody's listening to this later and they're like, I want to be on that first plane too. I'm going to be a sheep. I'm no longer a goat. I'm a sheep. In Jesus' name. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus as the atonement for all my sin. I'm born again today. I'm going to heaven. I thank you, Lord, for accepting me into your family. In Jesus' name, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And I'm going to live for you forever. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, church. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day. Yeah, and if you want to come take a closer look at these notes, I know they're just kidding.